1320 WILS. Thanks for joining us. So the Fed set to raise interest rates next week, but my next guest says we really shouldn't be making too big of a deal about it. The Fed's power doesn't control everything. Bill Tatro with us. Economist Bill Tatro is here to break it all down. Bill, great to have you on WILS.
Well, Michael, it's always a pleasure. I think the word that I was using was omnipotent.
Omnipotent. That's what I was looking for. Yeah, I wanted to start with your analysis because you talk about the group, which is what, basically all of us?
Well, when I talk about the group, okay, the group means that everybody out there, whether they're politicians, mainstream media, whoever they are, they look at the Federal Reserve and have looked at them since 1913 when Wilson signed the bill to put them into play. But remember, they were created in 1910 by a small group, primarily the Rothschild and J.P. Morgan, which Rothschild basically controlled in 1910 on Jekyll Island. Great book about that. But since that time period, everybody has looked at the Federal Reserve as the end-all and be-all. They're the omnipotent. They can do no wrong. Well, they make mistakes here and there, but they are basically the bank of last resort, et cetera, et cetera. The problem is that the Federal Reserve, the mission, which theoretically to everybody has been, full employment and keeping inflation in the kind of the 2 to 3 percent, maybe 2%, and keep prices on a stable basis. That's not really been their mantra. They were originally set up to protect the central reserve, the central bankers, to protect the 1%, et cetera, et cetera. And they've been very successful at that. But what's ironic?
So they have no real interest in the larger economy and the health of the economy, you're saying?
Oh, on one level they do. But at the other level, if you look at what they've done through the last several years, they're very Keynesian. They believe, if it's not working, continue to print more money. But here's the irony, Michael. Here's the irony. And that is, and this is what's kind of gotten confusing. And this is an analysis done by Deutsche Bank out of Germany and also by Goldman Sachs. And I always look askance when I talk about Goldman Sachs, but in this one, it's an economic analysis. Over the last several months, we have watched the money, the looseness of money, this explosion of loose money getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Mm-hmm. And all of the criteria that's used to measure, whether it's the VIX, whether it is the mortgage rate, whether it is a comparison of mortgage rate, corporate bond rate, whether it is any analysis that you want to look at, okay, what has been happening is that as the Federal Reserve is trying to get back to normality, loosen up their balance sheet, and raise those interest rates, it is having just the opposite effect. Just the opposite effect.
How do you explain that?
Okay. Well, how I explain it is that the Federal Reserve is not omnipotent. The market is. And when I say the market, I'm talking about the Treasury market. Mm-hmm. You're watching. The expectation was that the Federal Reserve raises short-term rates, and therefore long-term rates will rise also. Hey, the economy looks great. We're going to have fast inflation increasing. It's out there. And so short rates are going to take long rates with them. And you know as well as I do what's happening the other way. You're not having long rates going up. As a matter of fact, the measurement is the 10-year. They're going down. We're very close to approaching a one handle on the 10-year. And so the money, the big money, the central bankers, and right now China, who's now re-entering the purchasing of our treasuries, mm-hmm, they're aggressively buying. That's driving the long rates down. The analysis is
why are they doing that? What is it, a sign of optimism in your view then? Or?
Their viewpoint of the world, we'll say, or of the United States economy, is totally different than the Federal Reserve's. The Federal Reserve, one could say, well, the Federal Reserve's optimistic. We're seeing good growth. We're seeing low unemployment and all the rest of that stuff. The opposite is being viewed by the market, by the money guys, and they're locking in. If Deutsche Bank or if Goldman or if any of them out there, if they thought that we're going to have an economy that's going to be ripping and roaring you would be, they would be shorting the bond market. And the bond bears right now are getting their head handed to them dramatically.
Bill Tatro with us, economist Bill Tatro. Find him at BillTatro.com. And so what do you, as the Fed, first of all, do you expect the Fed to raise the interest rate next week?
Well, I think so. You know, I had said on your last time I was on the show, I said, I don't think they're going to raise the rates. But this is a very perverse type of thinking. Is Janet Yellen going to raise, I mean, the odds are 90 to 100% she's going to raise the rate. But is she doing it because it has this perverse way of loosening the money up? Is she actually saying, if I'm telling you one thing or if I'm doing one thing, I'm really, the expectation is something else is happening?
Right.
Because what the analysis that the two banks did was that for the effect of the two recent rate increases in the last 6 months has actually had an effect as though they had lowered the rates by 25 basis points.
Mm. Have we ever seen that before?
We really haven't. We really haven't seen that kind of a diversity between the long rate and short. You know, we're getting close. We're going to come to the point where we can have very much an inverted yield curve. You know, I mean, that's another discussion. But
explain what that,
know,
what is that?
What you have to remember is that the Fed controls the short rates, but the market controls the long rates.
You said an inverted yield curve. Can you explain what that would mean?
Yeah, what that means is basically if you are lending somebody money and you lent them for a couple of days or a week, and you know it's going to come back in a couple of days or a week, you would expect a relatively small return on your lending because there's not a lot of risk there. But if you were to go out 5 years or 10 years, you would say, hey, I got a lot more risk, and I want a much higher rate of return for lending that money for a longer period of time. Now, what's happening is, as we're going on, those short-term rates are getting higher and higher, and the longer-term rates are getting lower and lower. We could get to a point where the short-term rates are greater than the long-term rates. That's where the inversion comes, the inverted yield curve. And historically, always, since day one, that is a very bad sign because that means you're on the precipice of a very bad recession. And that's why you don't want to see that.
I mean, where does that leave the Fed, though? I mean, are you saying they should not be raising the rate, the short-term rate?
Not at all. Not at all.
Okay.
You know, I mean, we could very well, the rest of the world, look at the rest of the world. The rest of the world is, in some instances, in negative interest rates, whether it's Switzerland, Germany, whatever. We've got negative interest rates out there. I ultimately believe we will get to that particular point.
But
that brings up a whole other discussion of war on cash.
I've heard economists criticize the Fed for not having raised the rate fast enough, that when we're in trouble, they won't have the ability to lower it if they need to. Well, what do you say to
that? Isn't that an interesting thought? You can't go down if you haven't gone up. And that's the whole thing. And that's maybe why Janet Yellen says, look, the long rates are going lower and lower, and if really we are on the precipice of some bad things happening out there. Remember, when Trump came in, there was enthusiasm that quickly he would get the health care bill passed, the tax bill passed. We'd have trillions of dollars going into infrastructure. Now, all of a sudden, I'm not saying he's not going to get it done, but I'm saying he's run into a kind of a roadblock. And there's a whole lot of bets out there that say it may be quite a while before any of it gets done. And that means we're in the same old. And that's what the long rates are telling us.
Yeah, Bill Tatro here, 1320 WLS. I want to get your take on the testimony this week from James Comey. Do you how do you feel the president made out after his testimony?
Well, he's not going to make out well from the mainstream media because they're going to focus on certain things. Comey felt influenced and all the rest of that stuff. But, you know, I thought that one of the senators said to him, what actually did he say? And Trump said, I hope you can, you know, let go the investigation that's going on. And he asked Comey, he said, in your thousands of cases, has anybody ever been charged with a crime for hoping?
Mm-hmm.
And that was, I mean, he was very specific, the senator, very specific in that. But here's something that nobody's talking about, and that I think that they really should focus on. And this is Alan Dershowitz, who's no friend to conservatism, but he is a constitutional expert who I saw on CNN beating up and getting beaten up, saying, look, if he fired Comey, it was within his constitutional purview. If he said to stop the investigation, he could do that. If he said, it's over, I'm pardoning all separate people, all of it was within his constitutional rights. And they said, well, that's your opinion. He says, no, look at Jefferson, look at Lincoln, and look at Bush 1 when he stopped the investigation and said, I'm pardoning Caspar Weinberger. It's all within his rights. He said, you may have a political opinion. And I find myself now in this instance, when I'm on the same side of Goldman Sachs and Alan Dershowitz all in one day, I need to go to a safe place or something.
Are you feeling hopeful for what's ahead for President Trump? Do you think he's going to be able to get things done moving forward then?
Well, the question becomes, getting things done. You have to define getting things done. I've always
passing a tax plan, repealing Obamacare.
I looked at the tax plan, right? And that's wishful thinking. I mean, I think that some of these things, and I'm getting a little bit disturbed by the fact that many of these things are being done with an eye to Wall Street or with an eye to a certain group of people out there. And I'm just a little bit troubled. I'm also troubled geopolitically as to the deal that was made with maybe the biggest terrorist country in the world, Saudi Arabia. I have some real issues with that. But, any new president is going to, they said, well, he's learning as he goes along. You're telling me that Abe Lincoln knew what he was facing, that FDR knew what he was facing? You're telling me that the love of the liberal life, Barack Obama, he knew everything that he should be doing as he came in? No, it's a big job, and it's learning as you go.
Hope
these guys are intelligent enough and smart enough. I think Trump is, and I he's my president. I wish him all the best.
Yeah, it's we'll see if this Russia thing goes away. It's hard to tell if it's just begun, with the investigation into it. So, economist Bill Tatro, right here on 1320 WILS. Find him at BillTatro.com. Bill, great to get your take, as always, here on WILS.
Well, thank you, Michael. It's a pleasure, and I would urge all of the listeners to go there. We've got some special offers directly for them, audio, video, and everything, and especially for the folks who are listening to this show today.
Awesome. BillTatro.com is the website. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Michael.
There's more to come. I'm Michael Cohen, and you're listening to 1320 WILS.